Well, good morning. It is wonderful to have you all here with me this morning. We begin our services by singing the doxology, which is found in the red hymnal number 549. The doxology, hymn number 549. Worship is hymn number 677. Shout to the Lord, O earth, work for the Lord with gladness, and enter his presence with singing. Understand that the Lord is God. We are his, for he made us his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with confession, his courtyards with praise. Confess him and honor his name. The Lord is good. His kindness endures. His faithfulness never ends. Amen. Our first hymn this morning is number 445. It's More About Jesus I Would Know. Hymn number 445, More About Jesus I Would Know. Thank you. That you brought us here together this morning to worship you here in this chapel. And God, we do not take this opportunity that we have for granted. And Lord, we are just so thankful that you've provided this opportunity through the different sacrifices of the veterans of this nation who have served in peace and in war to give us this opportunity to freely worship as we choose. And Lord, we also think of the families that they too have made the same sacrifice with our veterans as they have served our nation through them in peace and in war as well. And Lord, as we come before you with the needs and requests that we have in our lives and the challenges that we are facing, your will that we desire to follow, God, we also think about others, not only of ourselves, but we think of family members and of friends. We think of the patients throughout this medical center, the staff that is working here today, and Lord, the family members that will be coming to visit. Lord, we lift them up to you in prayer as well. And in the same way as we pray for ourselves, Lord, we also are praying for them, that you would minister to their needs, that they would be able to face the challenges, and that you would go with them in spirit and in truth, so they can face those challenges and go through those valleys of ups and downs as we do as well. And Lord, we just want to bless you once again and praise you for this time. And we are so thankful that you taught us to pray by saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you for praying with me. Please be seated. Our next hymn this morning is Open My Eyes That I May See. Hymn number 431, Open My Eyes That I May See. Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth that hast for me. Place in my hands that wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me, Spirit divine. Open my ears that I may hear voices of truth thou send us clear. And while the wave notes fall on my ear, everything false will disappear. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me, Spirit divine. Open my mouth and let me hear gladly the warm truth everywhere. Open my heart and let me prepare love with thy children thus to share. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, I will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me, Spirit divine. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Philippians, chapter 4, beginning with verse 6. Do not worry about anything, but in everything through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses every thought, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any moral excellence, and if there is any praise, dwell on these things. Do what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious God, once again, Lord, we just want to praise you and thank you for the time that we've had in worship, for the prayers that we have said together, for the hymns that we have sung together. And Lord, I would just ask that you would just help me continue that praise as we desire to worship you in all things. Help me now, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. A couple of weeks ago, I was serving in a state where I serve as a chaplain, and we had our National Day of Prayer prayer breakfast. And the theme of that prayer breakfast was Seeds of Peace. And we had various prayers from different faith groups, and our guest speaker talked about the seeds of peace that he was able to plant through the different things that he does in terms of the music. He's a concert pianist, and he was sharing with us at the breakfast the different things that he's been able to do to help bring peace in different parts of the world that need it through his music. So the question I want to ask you and me this morning is, what do we do to see and have seeds of peace? Is it something that we are in search of? And I believe each and every one of us, if we would answer that question, I would say, yes, we are in search of peace in our lives in some form or fashion. And many times the peace can come at the most difficult times in our lives, because that seems to be where we need the most peace. When things are not going right, when we are facing challenges that seem to be insurmountable. But God wants us to give us that peace. And when we closed with the scripture that we have just read, it says, the God of peace will be with you. Not the God of conflict, not the God of evil, not the God of bad, but the God of peace will be with you. So you and I, as we follow Jesus Christ within our own daily lives, our objective should be, as we are following Christ, in search of that peace, that the only way that we can have that peace from God the Father is understanding more about our relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But yet I want to read something to you that came from a book called Tears in the Darkness, and it specifically talks about dealing with what happened to those prisoners that was captured in the Philippines. They did the road march to Bataan, the years that they spent as prisoners of war, the different traumatic events and experiences that they had. So let me read you something I think that gives us a perspective of when God is challenging us the most, or when we feel things are at its worst, that we can find peace. In the weeks that followed, as the survivors finally came to their senses, they began to count their great good luck. For every one of them, three had died. What but luck could explain that? There was no accounting for the sadness, of course, the emptiness that always follows the euphoria of luck. Almost every man had lost a buddy, a friend for the road. And they could not shake the feeling that their lives there had great good luck, had somehow been purchased at someone else's expense. To a man, they also remembered a voice. When the bedlam was at its height, when men were screaming and moaning and begging for their lives, Father William T. Cummings, the Maryknoll priest who in Billy Bid had read Ben Steele, The Last Rites, would make his way into the middle of the hold of the prison ship that they were traveling on from the Philippines to Japan and shout to be heard. Listen to me, he would yell. You must listen to me. Then in a clear but calming voice, he would recite a prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. He recited that same evensong every night, a prayer for the living, a prayer of thanks, a prayer for the dead. The priest ministered to anyone who needed him, and almost everyone did. In a month, he recited more last rites than most padres offer in a year of combat, then berated himself openly for not being able to hold the hand and ease the dying angst of every man in the ship who needed him. "Father, please pray for me," they begged. "Or baptize me, Father. I don't want to die without being baptized." He was a short, thin man, 41 years old, in constant pain from an old back injury that had required spinal fusion. He had chronic asthma as well, and the closed air in the holds of the ship must have been torturing him. Nothing, however, seemed to slow his ministrations. He played medic as well as priest, crawling over and across men to get the worst of the wrenches in the back of the holes. To some men, Cummings' soft incantations were humming whispers, Sidney Steele called them. Sounded like the voice of God to others. It was the voice of faith or a friend. Each night, he tried to take his rice meal with a different circle of men. One night, he talked of his days in Manila before the war. He liked working with indigent street children, and he said if he survived, he planned to continue the same kind of missionary work in Tokyo. "Those people are hopeless," one of the men said. Cummings came back, "No, my son, no one is helpless." Bill Cummings died on a Sunday in the hold of the Brazil Maru, 2 days short of making port at Moji. I share that story with you because it is a true story. And I think it's something that we can all relate to in terms of what do we do and where do we go when life is at its worst for us. Spiritually, physically, emotionally. And here the words of one prayer provided the seeds of peace. Because every man in this situation, every man that was in the hold of this prison ship as it was going from the Philippines to Japan, needed some type of peace. And those words from that prayer that we all know provided that peace. So what are we looking for when we think about peace? Do we truly understand what it means for us to have peace? And as we talked about before, we seem to need peace when life is at its worst for us. And I think all of us are trying to find that peace of mind, that comfort in knowing that even when things are at its worst, all is right with myself, with my world, with my God. And we can only find that peace in our commitment, in our relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. How do we find that peace? Is it something that we can produce? Is it something that we can generate? Is it something that we can truly experience? As we read this account of what was taking place offered by this priest, this chaplain, on the whole of this prison ship, what about within our own lives? Do we find ourselves at times in a hold of a prison ship that we have created ourselves? With the pain and the agony and the hunger and the thirsting, because of the circumstances that we find ourselves in. We are reminded again and again in the Scriptures that we have been set free in our relationship with Christ. We have been given the freedom that God wants us to have in our daily lives. That no matter what we are experiencing, no matter what the turmoil might be, God is always with us by our side. And yes, we have questions about our suffering. Not only just our suffering, but the suffering of others. And it's this example that we saw as these men were aboard this prison ship. They had their questions as well. But this one person, this one chaplain, this one priest was trying to provide at least some of those answers to those questions. Not all of them. Trying to find comfort, trying to provide some type of solace, trying to provide some type of peace. Do you and I have the strength and courage to do what this chaplain did, to do what this priest did? Because even that, they knew that he was dying. But yet he continued to be and serve others. In fact, one of the accounts that I've read about him said that his last words, he was reciting the prayer that we just read together in the whole of the ship. And his last words were, "Give us," before he died. Give us. Give us. Give us. And I think a lot of times that is our own individual prayers. Give us, God, that peace that we need to have. Give us that forgiveness that we need to understand and incorporate in our lives. Because it is only then that we are set free from the prisons that we have created within our own lives to live in freedom, to understand truly what spiritual freedom is. And it is that peace of mind that you and I think, all want to have. The peace of mind that says, you know what? I'm no longer feeling the stress that I once had. All of us go through daily lives with some form of stress. And they say some stress is good for us. Too much stress is bad for us. But I think there's a process there that as we get on track with God spiritually, as we get on the right path, as we get on the right road and begin to follow the direction that God wants us to have, we see that the stress in our lives is something that we can handle. But the peace of mind that God wants us to have should be one in which we know that it is not creating stress in our lives. The things that we are doing that gives us that peace, that gives us that tranquility that we want to have, should not be producing for us any type of stress. And I think if we look at our relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ, that is a relationship that is producing the right peace of mind that all of us want to have. Within that same peace of mind, as we search for that peace, that all of a sudden we don't seem to be as angry as we were before. Yeah, we still get annoyed and we still get upset about things. We still see injustices in the world that we want to change. But it's a different type of anger in terms of what we're trying to do. We are not hostile in a bad sense of the word. Angry at myself. Angry at the people that are around me. Angry about my circumstances.
We see it from a different perspective. We see it from the peace of mind that God has created within you and within me because of the relationship that we have with God. The peace of God that provides for us the things the way it should be. And once again, as we've talked about here in the chapel again and again and again, we are not talking about perfection, because as long as you and I are involved in the process, it will never be perfect. But that should always be our goal, our desire. I don't think any of us have a perfect day. We have a better day than maybe the day before. But yet we know that there are times when we experience things that upset us. All we have to do is turn on the TV or look at social media, and instantaneously our emotions get involved in things that are happening around the world. But God tells us, I want you to have that tranquility, because He is the God of peace. The God of peace for you and for me. And it is a gift that He has given to us freely. Just as much as this chaplain, this priest, and the whole of the ship was expressing the gift spiritually the best way that he could do it, by a prayer for all that were there. In the same way, we see what God has done for us on the cross through His Son, Jesus Christ, to give us that peace as a gift. A gift that we just need to accept. The gift that truly gives us that key that sets us free. That sets us free. And in that freedom, we see that the work of God is in our lives through the presence of the Holy Spirit. Through that part of the Trinity that is always with us, always walking by our side, that never leaves us, that never forsakes us. And then we see in that peace that we want to have, we begin to experience it in a different way that we never thought possible. And then when we find ourselves in circumstances and in places where we seem to be in a direction where we might find ourselves in prison again because of the things that are around us, we say, no, I'm not going to go there. I've been there before. I don't want to go there again. Because God has given me the peace of mind that I want to have. And I don't want to change that peace of mind. I don't want to change the gift that God has given me. I want to continue to be set free in my life. I continue to want to experience it. So I'm not going to go back there again. I'm not going to go back to those things that so easily made me a prisoner. A prisoner in my life, that I never want to be that again. And then we see, as we experience God in our lives, that the situations that we find, all of a sudden we see that God is working. And yes, we still have questions. We're still trying to figure out, God, how did all this happen, and how did this circumstance become the way that it is? But yet, as we are following peace, as we are in a search for peace, we see that it's going to be okay, regardless of what the outcome is going to be, because we have that assurance that God is always there with us. And then the things within the present moment, we just say, God, just give me the wisdom and the understanding and the discernment and the vision and the courage and the strength to say no when I need to say no, but also to say yes when I need to say yes. And then we see the peace of mind that we have been searching for. And as we encompass it, as we embrace it, we find ourselves rejoicing. Do you ever have those circumstances where everything just seemed to be right with the world and you just wanted to rejoice? You just wanted to celebrate? And we know we are on the right track when we rejoice in the Lord through those circumstances. When we find that peace that we are looking for. When we know that
everything in our lives is not perfect, and we have to put forth some effort. We have to work on some things. We have to have the hope, but hope also includes a plan many times and in our lives. The hope that we have in Jesus Christ, but also the desire that God wants us to sometimes maybe plan our steps. And God directs them. We just make that effort in faith to go forward with a plan. And God changes that plan, and we have to be willing to accept that and to understand that and to say, Lord, I'm rejoicing in these circumstances. I don't know why the answer is no, but God, you know what? I'm going to take that next step of faith because I have hope in you, but Lord, you've also given me a plan that I need to follow in my daily life, and I want to do that. And then as we experience those things that give us that peace of mind, we are able to handle those anxieties that we have, those emotions that at times seem to be so overwhelming, and they inundate us with doubt, they inundate us with fear, they inundate us with confusion. But God says, no, come back to me when you have those feelings, those thoughts. Because my relationship with you is not one of fear. Isn't that correct? The scriptures tell us that I do not give you a spirit of fear or of doubt. On the contrary, I give you the spirit of a sound mind. And we find that sound mind as we desire to have the peace of mind in our relationship with God. And then we see the things that we need to do to keep that peace of mind going and on track. It's not just a one-time event. It's not just a one-time experience. It's something that we have to work at daily to have. And many of us have different ways in which we can have that peace of mind daily. Some of it is through music. Some of it is through prayer. Some of it is through different things and how we study the Word of God. But each time we see that in that experience, it is something for us that is worshipful for us. Something that tells us about our relationship with God. Something that reveals within us a thankfulness, a blessing. As we sang earlier this morning, the things within our lives that we are to give praise to, that we are to be thankful for. And within those times of prayer, within those times of worship, whether it's listening to the music, whether it's reading the Word of God, whether it's that time of prayer, God guides us. God guides us in that process of the presence of His Holy Spirit in our lives. And then we begin to see more and more of the peace of God that truly does go beyond our own understanding and comprehension. Because then we see that peace of mind that God has for us. It actually protects us. It actually guards us from those circumstances that we are involved in, that we are a part of. And we are able to focus on those things that are essential, those things that are important, those things in which we put into practice within our daily lives because we desire to have that peace of mind. We no longer want to be in bondage. We no longer want to be on that prison ship going nowhere but to pain and misery. We want to be free. We want to live the life that God wants us to live in that freedom. And what's important in the scriptures here that we've read, that it is a promise to you and to me. It is a claim that you and I can reach out to. It provides us the actions that we need to do to have that peace of mind. That we need to focus on whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable. If there is any moral excellence, and if there is any praise, dwell on these things. Dwell on these things. Because when we dwell on the correct things within our own lives, we have the peace of mind that you and I are always searching for. So dwell on those things that keep you in the truth. Dwell and do those things that bring honor to your relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Do those things that are just. Do those things that are pure. Do those things that are lovely. Do those things that are commendable. Commendable. Do those things that honor you and your relationship with God. Do those things that truly do say who you are as a follower of Jesus Christ. So it is my hope and prayer that as we search for peace, that we do those things that God wants us to do. Do those right things that bring honor to God in all things. Amen. Let us take a few moments and prepare our hearts for communion. And we practice open communion, so if you know you have a relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ, you're welcome to take communion with us. Let us pray. Our gracious God, we are so thankful that you've given us this wonderful opportunity to worship you, to be at peace with you. But Lord, forgive us when we have created our own prison through our own desires, seeking what we wanted to have, and forsaking those things that you want us to be. And Lord, I would just ask that you would just forgive me. For God, I've done that. And Lord, I would ask that you would hear the prayers of all that are here that would want forgiveness as well for those things. And Lord, we are so thankful that you give us this opportunity just to publicly say to the world, I have a relationship with your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, God, for hearing our prayers and forgiving us of our sins and setting us free. In Christ's name, amen. For I receive from the Lord what I also pass on to you, The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us partake together. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us partake together. Our closing hymn is number 422, "I Know Not Why God's Wondrous Grace." 422. God's wondrous grace to me he hath made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me for his own. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not how this saving faith to me he did impart, nor how, believing in his work, brought peace within my heart. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not how the Spirit moves, convincing men of sin, revealing Jesus through the Word, creating faith in him. But I know I know not when my Lord might come, or night or noonday fair, nor if I'll walk the veil with him, or meet him in the air. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Let us pray. Gracious God, we are so thankful that you've given us peace of mind through this time that we've had at worship. Lord, help us to hold on to it. Help us to cherish it. Help us, God, to do it every day. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding be with you now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you for coming. good morning.
Good morning.
It is wonderful to have you all here this morning. Please join me as we begin our worship time by singing the doxology, which is found in the red hymnal number 549. Is hymn number 717. Do not be worried and upset, Jesus told them. Believe in God and believe also in me. There are many rooms in my Father's house, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. I would not tell you this if it were not so. And after I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to myself so that you will be where I am. You know how to get to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way to get there? Jesus answered, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one goes to the Father except by me. Now that you have known me, he said to them, you will know my Father also. And from now on, you know him and you have seen him. Amen. Our scripture reading, our first hymn this morning, there we go, our first hymn this morning is number 422, I Know Not Why God's Wondrous Grace. 422, I Know Not God Why, excuse me, I will, I Know Not Why God's Wondrous Grace. There we go.
I know not why God's wondrous grace to me he hath made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me for his own. But I know I am believing and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not how this saving faith to me he did impart, nor how believing in his word brought peace within my heart. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is committed unto him against that day. I know not how the Spirit moves, convincing men of sin, revealing Jesus through the word, created faith in him. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not when my Lord may come at night or noonday fair, nor if I walk the veil with him or meet him in the air. But I know
for singing with me. Good singing. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious God, we are so thankful that you give us this wonderful opportunity to come and worship you here in this chapel. Lord, we think of our requests that we have in our own personal lives. But Lord, we also think of the needs of our friends, family members, fellow patients throughout this medical center, the families that will be visiting, the staff that is working here today. Lord, we lift up those needs to you as well. Because God, you remind us that in your word that you tell us to pray for each other. Because in doing so, we share that spirit of promise that you give to each and every one of us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we think of the needs of this city, the needs of this state, of this nation. Lord, the different needs right now that you just call to mind individually through the presence of your Spirit in our lives. Lord, we lift up those situations. We lift up those people. We'd ask that you would hear their prayers as well, that you would comfort those that need to be comforted, that you will give courage and strength to those that need that, and Lord, that you will give insight and wisdom to all of us as we desire to draw closer to you in all things. And God, we are so thankful that you taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you for praying with me. Our next hymn is number 409. I will sing the wondrous story. Number 409, I will sing the wondrous story. I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me, how he left his home in glory for the cross of Calvary. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. I was lost, but Jesus found me, found the sheep that went astray. Through his loving arms around me, drew me back into his way. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. I was bruised, but Jesus healed me. Faint was I from many a fall. Sight was gone and fears possessed me, but he freed me from it all. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. Days of darkness still come o'er me, sorrow's path I often tread, but the Savior still is with me, by his hand I'm safely led. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. He will keep me till the river rolls its waters at my feet. Then he'll bear me safely over where the loved ones I shall meet. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea.
Amen.
appreciate you always joining me in worship because it motivates me up here. It's always good. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Colossians, chapter 1, beginning with verse 3. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. For we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints, because of the hope reserved for you in heaven. You have already heard about this hope in the message of truth, the gospel that has come to you. It is bearing fruit and growing all over the world, just as it has among you since the day you heard it and recognized God's grace in the truth. Amen. Let us pray. God, it is so good that we've had this wonderful time to worship, and Lord, is with the joyful hearts that we have in our lives, God, that we ask that we can continue to worship you. And Lord, that you can help me say the things that we all need to hear from your Spirit in the truth that is in our lives. Help me now, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Well, last week we were talking about drawing closer to God, and we talked about the fact that many times within our own lives it seems that we're walking that tightrope in life, and depending upon how far away you are from God or how close you are to God kind of determines when you make a mistake, when you have an error in judgment, how far that you will fall. So this morning I want to talk to you about the fact that as all of us, I hope, it's my hope today, I hope it's your hope as well, that we desire to continue to draw closer to God, to have fellowship with God, to have communion with God in every aspect of our lives. But how do we get started in that process? And whether you believe that you've been a follower of Jesus Christ for a long time, or whether you're just beginning that process as a follower of Jesus Christ, or whether you're trying to make a decision as to whether you should be a follower of Jesus Christ. Wherever you are in your journey with God, for all of us, every day we have an opportunity to get started in a new day and an opportunity for us to be closer to God than we were the day before. And what's important for us to realize is in everything that we do, it should be in Christ somehow. It should be bringing glory to God somehow. It should be recognizing the personal relationship that you have with Jesus Christ in all that we do, in all that we say. And that is a difficult task, but it is something that we should remind ourselves of as we begin each day anew in terms of how we want to get started with our lives, to begin that day getting started thinking about the love of God that we have through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So spiritually, each day we have an opportunity to do things in Christ. And it is difficult because there is that struggle between who we are as a person, the things that we desire, the wants that we have in our lives, the times when we are selfish. And I'm not talking about the decisions about what we will have to eat today or whether we will do this or whether we will do that, but the selfishness that you and I know that we have as part of our lives when we know that we are doing something just because we want to do it solely for ourselves and we want to exclude everyone else, including God. Spiritually, we have an opportunity to begin everything that we do in our lives in Christ. And it's something to consider, whether you have been in the journey for a long time with Christ, whether you're just starting, or whether you're just beginning to think about that perhaps you want to step into that relationship in Christ. Spiritually, we have an opportunity each day to start anew to draw closer to God in Christ. And then after we think about that, after we have that moment in time
when we think about the things in our lives that we'd want to dedicate to Christ, that we spiritually want to have Christ to be part of our lives in all that we do, there's a decision that we have to make in terms of whether we want to live a holy life. So in that day when we think of Christ, we also want to think about, in Christ, are we going to be holy today? And we've talked about before in this chapel that it's not the self-righteousness kind of holy. It's the holy that brings us closer to God, that gives us an opportunity to stop and to put ourselves aside and to think about our relationship that we have with God and the relationship that we have with others, to be holy, to do those things that honor God, to do those things that honor God in our relationship with Christ, to do those things that are the right things for us to do. Holiness is not something that is reflected in some kind of arrogance that we have that we're better than everyone else. On the contrary, holiness should be reflective of the fact that you and I are not better than anyone else. And with all humbleness and with all humility, you and I are equal before God. None of us here is better than the other person. God sees us all the same because he knows who we are individually. He knows of the truth of our own lives. And so holiness is a reflection that we have when we do those things in Christ, that we want to do holy things. We want to do the things that are right in our lives, the good things that we should be doing. And then when we think about how we get started each day in terms of being in Christ and being holy, you know, we have to make an intellectual decision in what we believe in. We've talked about the spiritual aspect of it. We've talked about the moral aspects of it in terms of being in Christ and being holy. But now we have to make that intellectual decision about the fact that we believe in what we believe in as a follower of Jesus Christ. And we make a conscious decision to do that. We make an intellectual choice to believe in Christ. Many times we don't think about that because it just should become just a part of our lives. But we make an intellectual decision in believing in the things of God. And it gives us an opportunity to really reflect on what we believe in, the choices that we make, the faith that God wants us to have in all things. Because either Christ is the truth, it's real, it exists, or either it does not. It's the biggest lie that has ever been told to mankind. There's nothing in between. There's no middle ground. There's no gray area in terms of what we should be believing in our lives. It either is the absolute truth or it is an absolute lie. And we need to make an intellectual decision to make that decision, I hope, in believing that it is not a lie, in believing that it is a truth. But it's something that we do, I hope, daily, that we should do daily. And then as we are beginning the day in Christ, we're trying to be holy, we're believing in the things of God as the ultimate truth, then we have an opportunity in terms of a social gathering to commune and have fellowship with each other, no matter how small or how great. The people that we work with, our family members, the people that we just casually meet on the street or in a restaurant, an opportunity to truly reflect everything that we have just talked about. Waking up in the morning spiritually, being in tune to the things of Christ, desiring to be holy in all that we do, understanding that within our own minds we believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God,
And then as we interact with each other, it should be reflective in our character in terms of who we are, in terms of what we truly believe in. All of us have different personalities. All of us, as God's creation, have different nuances in terms of who we are. There are some things about certain people that I just don't like, and I try not to reflect those things in my life. But you know what? God says that we're all related. In fact, one of my favorite expressions with family members, which is annoys them to no end, is that you can pick your friends, but you're stuck with your relatives. And every once in a while I say that just to remind family that maybe we just need to work a little extra more in terms of just getting along with each other. Because you can pick your friends, but you're stuck with your relatives. But God tells us that we're all brothers and sisters in Christ, no matter who we come in contact, whether it is our friends or whether it is our relatives. We are all brothers and sisters in Christ. And then we see within our own lives, as we are trying to do all these things every day, overall we have to have the desire, an expression within our own personal lives of a wanting to be with God. A wanting to be with God. And it's more than just an appreciation of God. It's a wanting to be with God. And think about that for a moment. A wanting to be with God versus an appreciation. I think we appreciate a lot of things, but there's a difference between appreciation and wanting. Does that make sense? In other words, I not only appreciate my wife, which that's good in itself, but I also want to be with my wife. And there's a difference. I can appreciate you, but I may not want to be with you. There's a difference. And we have to have a wanting to be with God. A wanting to understand that as we journey each day with God, that God is with us always. And that we are with God. Because it is something that I believe in that we should have. And I'm becoming convinced more and more over the last couple of months that there really has to be a wanting on our part. A wanting to be with God. Because a wanting means that we want to incorporate everything about God in our lives. And it's taken me a long time to finally get to that understanding. And I'm sharing that with you that perhaps you should consider that as a way to draw closer to God, to have that wanting. And I never, ever get it right all the time. But I have to go back to the basic truth that I want to have fellowship with God. And because I have that fellowship with God, I can do these other things that God wants me to do just to make me a better person. Just to give me more peace and more understanding about my life. Just to give me that opportunity that as I want to be with God, the overall fears that I have in my life subside. At times they even go away. Because all of us, every day, face our fears, whatever those fears may be. You know what those fears are. And those fears are between you and God. But when we draw closer to God, a wanting of God, even with those fears, they seem to go away from our lives. They don't seem to be a burden. And the contrast to that, as we mentioned last week, when we go farther away from God, the more the fears that we have in our lives just seem to overwhelm us. And we can't think of anything else other than our fears. So a wanting of God in our lives. A wanting that we desire God in such a way that we can tell that we are drawing closer to God because our fears don't occupy our minds and our thoughts and our lives the way that they did before.
That should be a test for you and for I as to whether we are drawing closer to God. And so I'm reminded of the fact that when these fears that I have in my own life, my own personal fears that only God knows about in me, when they seem to be creeping in around me, it gives me an opportunity to stop and ask the question, am I wanting that relationship with God? Am I drawing closer to God? Because where are these fears coming from? They are not coming from God. God does not give us a spirit of fear in our lives, but he gives us a spirit of a sound mind, which reflects wholeness. Wholeness in the fact that you and I have been made complete in our relationship when we accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And in doing so, we have that wholeness, and we can sense when fears come around that those things do not come from God. God never wants us to have a spirit of fear, but he wants us to have that spirit of wholeness, of wanting a relationship with God. And then within our own lives, we see the evidence within our lives of God working in our lives. Many times we don't see it all of the time, but every once in a while God gives us a little glimpse that God truly is working in our lives. And I call those things little miracles that take place. Little surprises that if you stop and think about it, you can say, you know what, God, I really think that you're really working in my life today. Just because of those little things, those little surprises, those aha moments that God gives us, the evidence that God is working in our lives. And that is a testimony of the fact that you and I desire to have that wanting of God in our lives. And then we see within our own lives the evidence that comes forth not only of God working in our lives, but in the love and compassion that we have for other people. For those people that we don't necessarily get along with the best. And I'm not talking about perfection, but I am talking about an understanding that you know that when you step outside in life, that you're going to have an attitude in which you really want to love and you really want to have compassion for others. And yes, you're going to say things, you're going to have thoughts, you're going to have personal desires, you're going to want things to be a certain way, you're going to want people to act and respond a certain way to you. We all want to be treated with respect. We all want to have dignity. We all want to be accepted in terms of who we are as a human being. And there are times that you'll be frustrated because you have that expectation, like everyone else, I think, should have expectations in terms of how we should treat each other. But God tells us overall that we should have that love and compassion. The same love and compassion that I have had for you through your grace and your faith believing is the same way that I want you to have that love and compassion for others. And then we see as we are going through the day, wanting to be with God, doing those things that God has asked us to do, that we see the hope that we have in our relationship with God. The hope and faith believing. You know, when I think about some of my friends that I grew up with, some of my friends that I went to college with, some of my friends that I have served with in the ministry, many of them, a lot of them, are no longer here on this earth. And every once in a while I pause and I think about my friends that have died. I think about the people that I have served with in this medical center, in ministry as chaplains that have died. And I think about the hope that they had and what they believed in. The hope in eternal life. The hope in heaven. And if you have that same hope, if you have that same desire, you're reflecting on the fact that your life is being measured by what you do here but also your life as being measured with a hope as to what is going to happen before you. In the same way that we have that hope of what we believe in Christ, in his death, in his burial, in his resurrection, in his ascension. The hope that all of us exists in the same way for those of us that believe in Christ. And then we sum it all up with understanding that it is through God's grace that we believe in the truth that has been set before us. The fact that we believe in the gospel, a truth of God's love within our own lives, the grace that God has given us, the forgiveness of our sins, the desire to have fellowship and communion with us, because God wants to be with us as well. It's not only our wanting to be with God, but God's wanting to be with us. And it is a two-way street. In terms of the gospel that God gives us through his grace, the truth that is represented in our lives. And then we see within that transformation, understanding that God wants to be with us, and I hope in the same way that we want to be with God, that we truly understand within our own lives what God wants us to do, to give us that understanding, that desire, to want to share that faith with others, to want to share it within our own lifestyle, in terms of bringing others to God in the same way that we have been brought to God. It's not just hearing about God, but it's also about understanding about God. It's also learning about God. It's also believing about God. And it's also doing about God. That God gives us that formula, the things within our own lives to get started each day, to look at each day anew. And I want to suggest this one thing to you. You don't have to wait to tomorrow to start that. You can get started every moment of every day when God says, hey, you know what? This is the direction that I want you to go in. This is what I want you to do with your next step. There's no reason for you to put off to tomorrow what you can do today. Because you still have the rest of the day in front of you. The rest of the day to understand that God wants to be with you. The rest of the day to think about the fact that you want to be with God. Because it is in that we recognize God's grace in the truth that he has provided to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. So it is my hope and prayer that as you go through the rest of the day, wherever you are in your journey with God, that you have an opportunity to get started once again, to get started in faith believing, desiring and wanting to be with God the same way that he wants to be with you. Amen. Let us take a few moments and prepare our hearts for together for communion. And I practice open communion. And what that means is if you believe that you have a personal relationship with God through his Son, Jesus Christ, that you are welcome to have communion with me. Let us pray. Our gracious God, we are so thankful that you have touched all of our lives this morning with the presence of your Spirit. Lord, you have reminded us that there is a wanting between you and between each and every one of us individually. And God, we want to have that wanting of you in the same way.
And God, we are just so thankful that publicly we can demonstrate by taking this communion together as one body of believers in your Son, Jesus Christ, that we want to have that wanting of you in our lives. Thank you, God, for forgiving us of our sins. Thank you, God, for your grace that we have found in the truth that represents your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Receive from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us partake together. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us partake together. Our closing hymn this morning is number 386. "I am weak, but thou art strong."
I'm
Let it be that our desire is to want to be with God, understanding that God always wants to be with us. Let us pray. God, we are so thankful that you've given us this wonderful opportunity to have fellowship with each other, that I can truly reach out and call my brothers here in Christ and just praise you and thank you for them. Lord, help us to have that desire within the grace of your truth to want you always in our lives. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding be with you now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you for coming.